afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
That's two, Melody. Good afternoon.
Anyway, we got Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, and she'll be joining us here in just a few short, brief minutes. And we're going to go right to the gold market today. Not as strong as we've seen in the past couple of days, a week, but we still managed to gain $3.50 today on the New York spot price after market at $12.48.70. Silver is showing no change to little change at $17.62. Platinum was down 8 at $965. Palladium was up 3 at $792. Earlier, there was pressure on the dollar. Let's see where that's at, down 0.02, still below 100 at 99.72. Crude oil down 0.10 at 48.14. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow down about 6 points, 20,661. The NASDAQ is showing at the moment up 27 at 58.21. And the S&P was up 4 at 23.48. 10-year yield today was down 0.04 at 2.40%. And the euro, of course, showed a decline of 0.10 at 1.08. And, of course, the Asian and European markets followed suit. Although the European markets didn't do as bad as the U.S. did, but certainly Japan did, was down over 2%, along with Hong Kong over 1%. What a difference a day makes. But we'll talk about the markets. We'll talk about gold and silver. And we'll talk about what's going on over in London. They had a terrorist attack over there, I believe. And we'll update you on that after the first break, because the first 20 minutes of today's program, the first segment, I should say, is Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, I thought we'd talk about an update with regards to the chickenpox and shingles vaccine, and also they're coming out with a new dental vaccine we should check into real briefly here. We've talked about the real issue with your shingles and the vaccine being really the chickenpox virus, and both are reported to increase your likelihood of a shingles outbreak later. So research is revealing now that these vaccines offer additional risk to your vision. And also, this upcoming dental vaccine is an interesting thing, especially for pregnant women. So the chickenpox vaccine, real quick, was issued in 1955. The U.S. Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends children get vaccinated with the chickenpox varicella virus at the age of 1 and then a booster by the age of 4 to 6 years of age. So the chickenpox vaccine is a live attenuated virus, and it's not recommended for people with weak or compromised immune systems, and is available now also in the mumps, measles, and rubella vaccine called the MMRV. Now, if you've listened to the show, we know that the shingles vaccine is really the chickenpox vaccine, just 14 times stronger. All right, so the new research in January 2016 by the University of Missouri Columbia studied the 60-year history of chickenpox vaccines, and the research team found some instances where it can cause inflammation of the eye, and specifically your cornea. So patients with a history of eye inflammation, or specifically conditions like dry eye, should consider avoiding the chickenpox and the shingles vaccines. This includes your boosters as well. So according to Dr. Frederick Fraunfelder, he's the Department of Ophthalmology at the University of Missouri School of Medicine, he found this link between the vaccines and corneal inflammation. He says it's called keratitis, and or inflammation of the clear layer of the front part of your eye, and it offers risk of permanent eye damage if you don't get it treated. So the research is showing that children or adults that receive a chickenpox vaccine or a shingles vaccine for the adults can develop this eye inflammation within a month of getting either of these vaccines. For adults, usually it occurs within 24 days, and for children, 14 days. He says that general practitioners, pediatricians, internists, eye doctors all need to be made aware that these vaccines can activate or exacerbate eye problems. I don't know if you heard about that, but that's kind of a new release. Yeah. All right, now the dental vaccine. I mean, there's a vaccine for everything these days, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Why do you think that is?
I'm waiting for the vaccine for politicians, you know.
Probably. No, that one won't work. No. But again, I'll make you bet the reason they have all these vaccines is because the government has exempted them from liability for lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you got to really do your homework before you get this stuff.
I understand.
Well, Australia reported in December of 2016 that researchers at the University of Melbourne have created the first dental vaccine. They claim the vaccine will reduce the occurrence of gingivitis or periodontitis types of diseases typically treated by antibiotics and surgery. So, however, these treatments don't really prevent the disease from coming back. So the dental scientists have created this vaccine instead. So it'll be in clinical trials in 2018, and the vaccine itself is supposed to target enzymes that produce the bacteria which causes the gingivitis. So it's kind of a theory at this point, but they hope to get some good clinical trials out of it and hope to reduce the destruction of gum tissue by reducing the bacteria, the microorganisms, also in dental plaque with this vaccine. So, but according to the American Academy of periodontal disease, about half of Americans, 47.2%, have mild to moderate gum disease. And the numbers climbed to 64.7% with regards to moderate to severe gum disease. And similar statistics are appearing in Australia with about 50% of adults over the age of 65 with gum disease. But unfortunately, people with gum disease usually have additional health problems such as diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, dementia, and cancer. What are the signs of gum disease? We've probably been told over and over and over again by our dental hygienists. You get red, swollen, tender gum tissue, bleeding gums when you brush your teeth, floss, or when you eat. Receding gum tissue makes the tooth look longer. Loss or even separating teeth, maybe even some pus between teeth and in the gum tissue itself, maybe mouth sores, of course halitosis, which is chronic bad breath, as well as a change in bite where your teeth fit together, or a change in a fit with partial dentures or a dental bridge. So there's some shifting going around because they're loosening up. So some of the causes, though, for gum disease, I said let's avoid some of the causes and skip the vaccine. There is more than one cause for gum disease. We'll hit the big ones. Diet that's heavy with refined foods that creates a lot of plaque, and also poor dental hygiene can contribute to gingivitis, as well as smoking, alcohol, and birth control vaccines. And that's what we're going to talk about next, is the birth control vaccines creating gum disease. I don't know. Have you heard about this?
No, it's not something that comes up for my gender.
Okay.
Melody may have heard about it, but
Well, we're into the third generation of birth control. Okay. So currently in the United States, 22% of women opt to get the injectable version of birth control. It's called the Depo-Provera birth control vaccine, and it's a treatment that lasts 12 months. It's made from a synthetic hormone called progestin. And the vaccine prevents pregnancy in three different ways. It prevents the release of the egg from the ovary. It thickens the mucus covering of the egg to prevent the sperm from penetrating it. And also it alters the uterine lining to prevent the fertilized egg from attaching. So women who take this vaccine, a whopping 75% of them stop the treatment due to the really bad side effects, which are menstrual bleeding that lasts for months, as well as headaches, nausea, fatigue, weight gain, acne, anxiety, depression, hair loss, and then excessive hair growth other than on the scalp, and bleeding gums and gum disease. So according to the American Academy of Periodontal Disease, they recommend women who do get the injected form of birth control, they should monitor their teeth and gum health. This is a quote from Dr. Pamela McLean, American Academy of Periodontal Disease. She says, it has been suggested that progestins have an inflammatory component and increase the risk of periodontal disease, end of quote. But there are some other side effects women should be aware of. Some research on the injectable birth control. The other health problems, other than gum disease, is there's findings that when the gum disease develops, it releases toxins directly into the woman's bloodstream, and these are bacterial toxins that can attack organs such as the heart. According to research, there are additional risks of bacterial toxins and a lot of inflammation to cause serious chronic diseases in women from this, including diabetes, heart disease, rheumatoid arthritis, cancer, kidney failure, respiratory diseases like COPD, osteoporosis, and even early Alzheimer's. So actually, no vaccine is going to prevent ill health from poor diets, poor hygiene, and toxic birth control treatments. Think about it.
You know, I've got a question for you that goes back a little to earlier in the program.
Okay.
You were talking about chickenpox, and you were recommending that people who had weaker, compromised immune systems should be wary of getting the chickenpox vaccine.
Well, actually, that's modern medicine that doesn't recommend it for people with HIV or some autoimmune deficiency issue.
Yep. Well, that was what I was going to ask you. How do you know if you have a weaker, compromised immune system?
Typically, they can run a blood test, and they can check. But you will have frequent bouts of illness and difficulty getting over them. That's when you know you have a weakened immune system, a suppressed immunity, if you will. And then autoimmune systems usually create, according to science, it's the immune system that attacks you and makes you ill all the time. So you would know if you had a compromised immunity.
Okay. Yep. Well, since I don't know, I guess I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know you got a pretty good immune system if you can get over the flu in 2 days. That's usually one of our telltale signs if you've got a good immune system.
All right.
So the flu was kind of weak this year because a lot of people decided not to get vaccinated. Did you notice that?
No, I hadn't. But I understand what you're saying. People are reluctant. They've heard enough reports from people like yourself that are suggesting that the flu vaccine might be more of a problem than an asset.
Well, when you get the flu vaccine, you're shedding off that virus for 14 days. So you've been inoculated, but you're actually infected and you are shedding it off because it takes about that time for a body to make an immune system antibody and for symptoms to show up normally. And then that's usually when people start feeling like they got the flu from the flu shot, you know? So less people shedding and getting sick this year, and also parents are opting not to get the flu vaccine for their children, which is kind of frustrating pediatricians, but it's not one of those mandated vaccines yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
well, we're talking about chickenpox and shingles and dental vaccine.
And,
how many
yeah.
of these are mandated right now, if any, besides chickenpox, I would presume?
Yeah, chickenpox has now been added to your childhood repertoire of vaccines, and now they've even combined it with your MMR. So that, you know, you can get it separately, but now, you know, just to make it easy on parents, they combine it with your mumps, measles, and rubella. So the children are getting four pathogens all at once when they get that shot. Of course, you know, I don't recommend it. I ask parents to do their homework on all that stuff first, and people are shocked when children have reactions to vaccines, and they shouldn't be, because I think there's enough information out there on the internet, even from virologists, MDs, that will tell you the truth about them. I got a call from a lady the other day who her adult daughter got the Gardasil vaccine for cervical cancer, and that's a round of four vaccines. They give you the first shot, and then you get like three boosters. And after the second shot, her child started to show symptoms, and they never went back for the rest. She does know people that did go back for the rest of them, and then the children are really severely damaged. So there's been actually countries that have outlawed the Gardasil because it's just not conducive to good health. Really isn't. Yeah.
This whole vaccine thing is strange. It's an interesting topic because I'm sure that some of them, I assume that some of them really do good. But nevertheless, I know that when I was a kid, I don't know how many vaccine shots I had altogether, but I doubt that it was more than 10 in my, you know, my first 10, 15 years of life. And it's my understanding that they're mandated now scores of vaccines for school kids. Am I mistaken about that?
Well, if parents go by the CDC's recommended vaccine schedule for children before kindergarten, the children are getting over 50 vaccines.
How did we survive? How did people of my age survive without the other 40 vaccines? I mean, I might have only had five, but I don't believe I had over 10.
Well, and you have to ask yourself, you know, why would you have to, and there's mercury thermosol in these, and so there's an accumulative effect, and it's affecting IQ. It's affecting kids are getting attention deficit and all kinds of neurological issues from these accumulative effects of the mercury. And there's enough doctors now speaking out about it. And doctors don't have their own kids vaccinated.
Yeah.
So I tell people, do your homework. You may even want to download off the internet a physician's warranty of vaccine safety, which is basically the doctor warranting or guaranteeing that the vaccine won't hurt your child, and he's waiving all protective rights. Most doctors,
and how many doctors actually do
they
that?
They don't sign it, but they also don't call DSS on you either.
Oh, I see. So if you present this to them, they aren't going to tell tales to the government.
Because how are they going to explain it? Authorities show up and you say, well, I'd have no problem vaccinating my child. I just want to make sure the treatment is safe. And if he won't warranty it as safe, why are we doing it? Yeah.
So what can people do? Diet, I suppose, exercise?
Well, yeah.
What can they do to supplement and perhaps avoid the vaccines?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of herbs you can use, and this is not something you have to use the rest of your life, but it's a strengthening type of therapy. So if you go to the powerherbs.com website, or if you look in the apothecary herbs catalog, you'll see a product called Shingles Be Gone if you get the shingles outbreak. And also the tooth and gum formula is excellent for stopping bleeding gums, tightening it up, and getting rid of pathogens in that gum tissue. And also organ cleanses, immune boosting. I mean, your options are endless.
Give us a little contact information, Wendy, because we're just about out of time.
Okay, they can give us a call for a free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Wendy. It's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you'd think just as we, I don't know, I mentioned this to someone, I think it was just a week or so ago, I says, you know, it's been really quiet. We haven't had any, there hasn't been any, you know, mass shootings or terrorist attacks, and it's been fairly quiet since the Obama administration closed down. And unfortunately today there was a terror attack at the UK Parliament. Cop was stabbed, pedestrians were mowed down, very similar to, I believe, what the Brussels massacre was with a truck, and it was as of the anniversary of that tragedy. So, of course, ISIS has taken, I believe that they're at least celebrating, not quite sure if they're actually taking, claiming the spotlight for it, but there's a lot of things going on. Not too much going on. The assailant, I guess, was, he's no longer on this planet, but there are four dead outside of Parliament after the terrorist drove car into the pedestrians. He stabbed an officer in Westminster, and he had a 4x4 that he went into people, and then he stormed the Parliament. And I believe Prime Minister May wasn't very far away. And, you know, so again, it's ISIS or terrorists or whoever is behind it has reared their ugly head, and so you'll be hearing a lot about that probably in the next couple of days.
It will also amplify whatever controversy is going on about immigration. I'm going to guess if ISIS has taken, I mean, this must be a Muslim.
Well, actually, he's looking. They say, and I haven't seen a pic. I looked at the picture, but they said he's Asian. But, okay. You know, Muslim. They have an Asian look to them, so not sure if what the correct reporting on as far as that is concerned. I don't know why ISIS would be, you know, celebrating and claiming.
It's got to be a Muslim.
So, you know, I guess there are Asian Muslims.
Oh, but, yeah. There's a big problem in China that is increasingly, China's having a problem in Uyghurs, within the Uyghur province, where they're, the Muslim population, I think, is actually predominant, if I remember the name of the province correctly. And they are, and the Chinese are beginning to say, "Oh, we got a problem here," which is interesting because the Muslims are an equal opportunity terrorist. They are an equal opportunity. They'll sign anybody up. They don't care about your race one way or the other. They're not racists, so far as I understand. They will try to expand. You can see they're trying to expand into Europe, but it is. I would be amazed if they weren't making similar plans to expand into India, into Asia. I know there's a Muslim presence in India, and it breaks out every so often. They have kind of like a great deal of civil unrest between the Hindus and Muslims. We'll see it in China before we're done, too. And in that regard, this Muslim political activism is a little bit like North Korea. They just don't know when to shut up. And sooner or later, they're going to get everybody so angry that there's going to be a big problem, bigger than whatever they've got. It'll be even bigger, in my opinion. So we'll watch and see. But any case, well, problem in Islam near the parliament.
Islam is the fastest growing religion here in the States. I mean, all your prisons are, you know, they're all being converted and so forth. I don't know if there's a percentage or if it was ever unnoticed, but I wonder if those that are converted, if they have the same strong tendencies as those that are born into it and
have an
environment. I don't know if it's hard to find anyone who is as much of a true believer
as a current convert, right, in any faith. When you join a faith that is not one that you were raised into, if you're going to go into a new faith, you're going to abandon your old faith, you go into a new faith with a kind of fervor that you never had for the old one. It becomes, you're ready to rock and roll. That's an opinion.
Possibly, but I think, you know, depending on, it'd just be interesting to know if that's the case or not. But anyway.
Well, you'll find out.
The whole point, Al, is because of the Islam is the fastest growing religion here in the States. So, this is Fox Business News. Americans are dying with an average of $62,000 of debt. So most everybody dies with some debt, except our listeners and gold owners. We don't have any debt. 73% of consumers, according to a December 2016 data provided to credit.com, left a balance of $61,554. Without home loans, the average balance was $12,875. I mean, you think that you're carrying that much loan, I mean, because you think the majority of people in this are aged people or seniors.
Because they're more likely to die than the kids.
Yeah, that there'd be any mortgage debt, but there is. So, so among the 73% of consumers who had debt when they died, about 68% had credit card balances. There we go. The next most common kind of debt was mortgage debt, 37%, followed by auto loans, 25%, personal loans, 12%, student loans, 6%. There were the average unpaid balances, credit cards at $4,500, auto loans at $17,000, personal loans, $14,000, student loans, $25,000.
You know, that's a lot of money, especially for elderly people. It maybe isn't so much if you're younger than the rest of that, but for elderly people, it's kind of surprising that the banks would be going that deep into debt with them if they are approaching what may be, you know, just statistically the ends of their lives. How are the banks covering this loss? If someone dies, he owes $60,000-$70,000. Okay, we just write it off. It strikes me that that might be. It's not a huge sum on an individual basis, but I have no idea how many people die in this country every year. I don't know, a million, 500,000. I'm not sure. Do the math and see where that works out. There's a lot of debt that's being disappeared, and I wonder, do the banks have special insurance programs to protect them against loss of debt from people who die?
Well, I mean, lots of times they provide, like if you're going into mortgage, they'll have mortgage insurance and stuff like that they offer to the people to kind of cover themselves. But the debt does belong to the deceased person or the person's estate. So if they do have enough assets to cover their debts, well, things get sold and the creditors get paid.
Okay.
So they're paying off on the mortgage.
They owe $60,000 on the mortgage. What it means, the house is going to wind up being sold and the creditors are going to get the first $60,000 off the house.
Correct.
Okay.
So, you know, creditors might not get it all. They might get some of it. They might not, you know, they might get half of it.
The other point, though, is that can they force the house to be sold if there's a spouse who's still there? Right, the husband dies, the wife is there living in the house. The husband is on the hook for $60,000 when he dies. Do they get to liquidate the house? Can they force the house into a foreclosure or sale or whatever so they can collect the $60,000?
Well, it's the type of debt that you have and how complex of the situation it is. Federal student loan debt, they can go after the borrower's estate. And so there's just, you know, and I'm not an attorney to describe, you know, how what things get paid and so forth. There's community property states where spouses share ownership of property. So, you know, it really comes down to where you live, what you have, and the type of loan that you have. So, you know, it's different for everyone. But the main thing is, yeah, they'll go after your assets. Same way with taxes, you owe taxes, you know, nobody's going to get anything until the IRS gets it. Same way with state taxes.
Well, somebody's got to support the government. It's not like you're dealing with a protection racket run by the mafia or the Aryan Brotherhood or something. It's just your duty to cough up however much money has to be coughed up for all the brilliant ideas the government has concocted to help you and me.
And it's really
important. Virus protection,
well,
for example.
Well, no, it's really important
vaccines now.
It's really important that people write a will.
Well,
you know, so you don't get into situations like this. It gets expensive. If you have to have these matters decided by a court, there's administration costs and so forth. So if there is someone that you want to leave your money to, make sure you have a will so it doesn't go to the state. And that's why, I mean, I'm not recommending, I'm not suggesting, I'm not structuring, but when it comes to privacy and passing on your wealth, distributing your wealth, there's no better way to do it than it's through gold. You want your privacy, and I mean, certainly you have to make plans prior to, but privacy, and people just don't get the importance of owning gold and the benefits that it provides you and why there's still loopholes in the laws that allows you to buy gold, and some can be exempt from 1099s and so forth. There's reasons why it's still exempt. So, you know, privacy is so important in today's world, and we just give it up thinking it's the coolest thing that we can do things online, give up our privacy, and we just don't think about it. But this is one way. Estate planning with gold and silver, particularly gold, is a very private way to distribute your wealth. So it should give you something to think about.
Here's something for you to think about. We talk about these kinds of stories on a fairly regular basis on this program, but this is from International Business Times, and the headline is, "Hackers threaten to wipe millions of iCloud accounts if Apple doesn't pay up by 7th of April. Hackers are reportedly demanding $750,000 in ransom from Apple, claiming that they have access to over 300 million Apple email accounts. Going by the name of the Turkish crime family, the group of hackers have threatened to wipe out the data of millions of users if Apple fails to pay up by the 7th of April. Now, there's more to the story, and part of the story is it's not even clear that the hackers really have access to these accounts. They have apparently contacted Apple, and they say, we want some money, or we're going to huff and puff and blow your iCloud down. But they're claiming to have access, but nobody knows for a fact that they do. And I doubt that they can prove access up front without risking Apple making some sort of a correction, sudden correction, that might even wipe out their extortion racket. But my point in all of this, 300 million Apple email accounts wiped out of the iCloud. And the cloud, I don't know, that's something I don't even understand. But what I do understand is this. If they can wipe out 300 million of your Apple email accounts that are up in the iCloud someplace, what makes anyone think that these same hackers or hackers like them can't contact your bank and say, we're going to wipe out all the data on your hard drive and we're going to drive it. And if it disappears, guess what? If your savings is on that hard drive and it's not backed up and whatever, that can be made to disappear too. And this is another illustration of a theme that we've talked about, that there is no secrecy in the digital age. There is no secrecy in the internet age. If you're storing things, information or wealth in a digital format, there's a risk in this, right? That it can be made to disappear. And this illustrates that idea that they can contact the bank and say, we're going to wipe out everybody's savings account. Well, I'm sure that the bank have their savings account backed multiple times. But still, it's showing you that if you want to preserve things, if you want to preserve privacy, if you want to preserve wealth, if you want to preserve the information, it's beginning to look like the hackers are doing better than the people that are defending against them. The hackers seem to be coming up on a routine basis with more, better hacks where they can bust into people's computers, take control of those computers. It may be that we are seeing a limit to what can be done with computers, and certainly with the internet. Now, if you've got a computer and it's isolated from the internet, okay, all right, that should be security, unless someone actually has access, physical access to your computer, and they can put a USB or put a thumb drive into it or a CD or whatever and maybe change things. But if you're not on the internet, yeah, you can preserve this, but maybe are we beginning to see limits in how much we can trust the computers that many of us have come to rely on? Are we coming to an end where we have to say, no, we can't rely on that? I'm beginning to think myself, I'm going to set up one computer for dealing with the internet and keep other computers that I do fundamental work with. I think I'll keep those separate. I'm beginning to think I'm not going to go on the internet with at least some of my computers and maybe just one that I can, that's disposable. I'm going on the internet, Melody. Wish me luck. You know, if I get back with my computer, fine. If I don't, I'll junk it. They're making computers, they're selling them in places. Some of them are being sold for like $125 a piece, which would be more than adequate to visit the internet. You can download files and one thing and another and put them through some sort of a security procedure and then move them into another computer. But it's still strange.
The danger isn't the computers. The danger isn't your PC or your laptop and so forth. It's your cell phone. Every cell phone in the world connects to the internet. And that's where people just don't think. I think they're probably saying, well, I'm not going to do that on my PC and so forth. But when it comes to their phones, they have no worries. They do their banking. They do their, you know, they're on the internet probably more on their phones than if they were sitting at a desk with their laptop or their iPad. So,
well, the lesson in all of this is we may wind up moving back to some sort of a tangible means of keeping records, but maybe something's going to happen here. We'll watch and see. We'll figure that out as soon as we get back from a couple of commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Be washed up with.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, Payless Shoe Store. Men don't usually care about shoe stores, but women do. Payless is said to be filing for bankruptcy, so maybe women aren't paying that much attention to shoes. But they're planning on filing for bankruptcy as soon as next week. This is according to a lot of people that are familiar with them. The company is initially planning to close 400 to 500 stores as it reorganizes operations. Payless had originally looked to shutter as many as 1,000 locations, and the number may still be in flux. Payless's bankruptcy would add to a tumultuous year in retail. With several bankruptcies and hundreds of store closes, even at companies that aren't distressed, there's a lot of reports going on that, you know, Sears doesn't have a chance by the end of the year, that they might actually be shuttered totally by then. We'll just have to wait and see. Payless was bought by private equity firms Golden Gate Capital and Bloom Capital Partners back in 2012 as part of the breakup of publicly traded Collective Brands. The company was founded in 1956. It employs almost 22,000 people, and it has more than 4,000 stores in 30 countries. So, again, just another sign of multiple reasons why it's filing bankruptcy and closing stores, and just another sign that there's more unemployed people that are going to be around. So, here's some.
I'll give them a chance to catch up on their reading.
Well,
you know, if you're unemployed, you can always educate yourself.
Well, they can go to work for Starbucks.
Walmart.
Become a...
We can have multiple. We can have a line of greeters. A line. Not just one greeter at Walmart. We could have a line of them where it's like meeting dignitaries or whatever. When you shake up, hello, hello, hello. We'll shake the hands of all of the greeters. We can have greeters going out into the parking lot in front of Walmart.
The reason I said Starbucks is because they are ramping up its hiring efforts. They've announced a plan today to create more than 240,000 jobs globally by 2021. In the U.S. alone, the company is slated to add about 68,000 jobs as it moves toward opening 3,400 new stores by that year. Partially included in that number of other programs, the coffee chain sponsors to boost hiring among groups like veterans and teens. Yeah, veterans and teens, you're subsidized by the government if you hire them. So that's why they hire them. They don't do it out of the goodness of heart thinking that they're helping a veteran, but they get paid to do it in the same way with teens. They do it down here in Ocean City, Maryland. In the summertime, they don't hire American teens. You know, they bring in the internationals to work. You know, and people get subsidized. I don't know if they get subsidized by the city or the county or the state. They get subsidized also by boarding the internationals, is what they call them, the internationals. And so, you know, they set up these, you know, like, you know, bunk bed after bunk bed after bunk bed in some of these places. And, you know, basically they get free labor for the city.
And how many of these free laborers don't bother to go back home?
I think
themselves blending into the American society and disappearing.
I don't know how they collect them and take them back. I don't know what type of tags they keep on them. It isn't just that they come over on their own. I mean, there is a group that brings them over and so forth. So it's a little more detailed than just, you know, I'm from France and I want to go to America and I'm going to work on Ocean City and so forth. So it's a little more, you know, which makes it worse, I think. But because then you have your local communities. So where are the teens? And if you talk to a teen, it's like, well, why aren't you working at the, you know, on the boardwalk on the French fry place? And they don't pay enough is the answer. They don't pay enough. So
yeah, you'll get that. That'll change.
The companies
will be glad. The day may be coming when people will be glad to take any job that pays anything. Right? And it'll be a terrible time if it comes down that way.
And that's why I wonder with a Starbucks where they're looking to hire more young people, they said it's exceeded its goal of hiring 10,000 opportunity youth. And that is probably what makes me think that it is a subsidized program in America by 2018 by hiring more than 40,000. They said they like helping to jumpstart their careers by giving them their first job. And hey, my first job was at a burger shop, you know, restaurant, so forth. So, but
I remember my first job, and I've mentioned it before, but it was 85 cents an hour for Plow Motors.
Several times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, money went a lot further back in those days.
Well, absolutely. 85 cents back then was this eight, that was 85% of a silver dollar. That's what I was making, 85 cents an hour, but it was 85% of a silver dollar. Take 85% of a silver dollar today, and you're talking $15 an hour or more. Not bad for a kid, 7th, 8th grade. I don't remember when I started out there. Sweeping floors. The equivalent of $15 today. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I got another article here that we talked earlier about the hackers breaking into the iCloud. And that was from International Business News. But here's another one on the same subject from the Hacker News, which in matters of hacking, I would probably trust more than International Business News. And the headline is, hackers threatened to remotely wipe 300 million iPhones, which is what you were talking about, Melody, unless Apple pays ransom. Now, these are the same stories, but the first one was merely talking about email accounts could be trashed. This says, no, 300 million iPhones could be trashed. Now we're going to have people's attention, assuming that, you know, the people making this claim can back it up. Can they really break into 300 million iPhones, Melody? And if so, what happens? What happens to the whatever access to bank accounts they have? I mean, the information, the phone numbers, everything. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, my iPhone is no longer functioning. Can life survive if the iPhones go out, Melody? Is this a mass extinction event, or aggravation?
I think it's more of an aggravation. Most people won't even feel it, and those that do, you know, if their phone goes down, there was a massive blackout on the East Coast of, you know, iPhones. I can't remember. I think it was Comcast or one of them where the system went down. People have problems with their phone, and it's no big deal. They just wait it out. I mean, we're a whole different to those that use the, you know, they're on their phones for, you know, you know,
where they
from
live,
the time
Melody.
They get up, that's their entertainment and everything else. So no, it's an inconvenience to them, and that's all it is.
No, I don't know that that's true, because what this is talking about appears to imply that the phones get wiped out. All right, it's not just you get turned off for a period of time, a day or however long, and then you turn it back on. It's wiped out in the sense that all of a sudden all the phone numbers they've collected and their websites and history and maybe whatever they're doing in terms of banking.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I think it will.
It's not going to happen by a hacker. I think if you could hack in and take all that information and so forth, they'd be hacking.
No, they're not talking about taking it. They're talking about destroying it. No. Just wiping it out. We're not taking your information. Not exactly.
You don't know what they will take. If they can, I'm not going to argue, but I mean, if they can bring it down, they can take it. know, just like they took, you mentioned something on yesterday's program or the day before where there were accounts, the Yahoo accounts and so forth, where the information was extracted mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. only wanted, what, $750?
Yeah, it was peanuts.
You know, so
now they found a better way. And that's part of the reason for the report today. They're not trying to steal the information because they know it really doesn't have much value and it'd take you decades to sort through it. All right, we've got 100 million of these things. Who's going to count them? Who's going to go through them? You can't just do it. It won't be just with the computer.
I'm not going to steal your information.
I'm going to just destroy your information. How do you like that?
Hey, ask
neither
Comey.
Pay me or I'll destroy your stuff.
Hey, ask Comey. He knows how to go through a lot of emails at a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, but can he get the right information off of them?
But that was a joke.
Here's an article from Gaines, Paines, and Capital. Headline is, "Buckle Up, a Bloodbath is Coming." Technical damage from yesterday has been severe. The Dow dropped about 200 points. Does this mean that stocks won't bounce? No. But it is a major wake-up call to investors that the market is in danger of going lower, much lower. The Russell 2000 leads the overall market. It is right at support levels today. If it breaks this line, the market could crash, unwinding the entire move from November 6th in a matter of days. Now, the Russell 2000 is down. Last time I looked, as of noon today, it was down about 9 points for the day. I don't know that this thing is going to trigger anything or not, but these are another one of the doom and gloom reports that may be valid. The economically sensitive Dow Jones Transportation Index has already taken out critical support levels on the and charts. This is a major wake-up call. I hope you're all paying attention. Indeed, it's quite possible that this may mark the beginning of the next financial crisis. Do you think what we're seeing in the last couple of days actually marks the beginning of the next financial crisis, Melody?
I think there's some elements in there that could, but I think the markets are just really reacting to the Trump bump at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly, yeah. I mean, there's so many things going on that could ultimately absolutely claim the title of, you know, crashing the system. But I think everything is on hold until tomorrow because we have the vote on the health care bill. House conservatives say they have the votes to bring down a Republican plan to replace Obamacare. This was a core piece of Trump's agenda. And so you pretty much have three different scenarios. And so I think it means if it doesn't get passed, if it exceeds the 22 Republican no votes necessary to block the legislation, you're going to see pressure on the markets because that means Trump can't get the tax cuts done. He can't get anything else done. This was a big, big, big part. And it doesn't matter if those that voted for him, you know, still thinks he'll be able to do it. It's what the markets are reading into. And initially, it was all part of what made the stock market go up after the election, was the, you know, the infrastructure building, the overturning of this and the reduction of the banking regulations and so forth. So I think tomorrow, depending on how this vote comes out, we're going to see the markets react one way or another. Might even see a little pressure on gold. Things change so quickly overnight. Things could get heated up in North Korea. This thing that's happened in London, that could get heated up. Turkey, Iran, you know, China. So it's a combination of everything. And, you know, if some information is released, and I think that this is just how fragile, maybe even fragile isn't the word that I'm trying to think of, but it's just so, it could be a sneeze in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think tomorrow's vote is a key thing.
All right, so we'll watch and see. Nobody knows for sure what's going on. We don't know whether we're really at the edge of doom and gloom yet or we have a long ways to go.
I didn't go in. Let me see if I can pull that up. And I mean, that went down a little bit more today.
Less fear and more greed.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of fear out there. And usually when you have fear, and I said that before, it's now 32. Yesterday it was, what, 34, something like that? So it's even lower. When you have those types of emotions, it's going to drive the market. So I do think that we're going to see another big down day. And but is it going to be tomorrow?
A big down day for the Dow is what you're talking about.
For the Dow and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And for the rest of them. Yeah, the Russell was down 3. So I don't, you know, you know, maybe in, you can look for signs. You can say the Russell, you know, it's all part of it. These are all the little signs that we put together to show us. Folks, we're telling you, wake up. Pay attention.
Yeah, protect yourselves. Yeah. So... again, nobody knows when. That's the big question. But everybody who looks at this, I don't think anybody denies that we're getting closer and closer and closer.
And I don't
care.
And
sooner or later, we're going to see at least some of the trouble that we think we that could be headed our way. And when we do, price of gold should go up. Stocks and bonds could go down. We'll watch and see what happens.
The Americans are the last people in the world that buy gold and silver. We've seen it in the numbers from the U.S. Mint for February. It was disgusting. There's no interest in gold and silver. How do you think I can sell $20 gold pieces at the same price as a 1 ounce gold eagle? The premiums are supply and demand. Well, we've got supply, but the demand is low. So that means the premiums have dropped a little bit. So, I mean, these are all signs that shows where we're at, where we're headed. It's a great time to be buying gold and silver. I don't care if the stock market goes to 30,000 because I know every day without gold, I lose purchasing power. People don't understand what purchasing power is, I don't think.
Well, we're going to have to leave that lesson for tomorrow because we're out of time, Melody. I want to thank all you folks for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow on Financial Survival. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye.
Work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.